tonight, an exclusive. Murphy from the Buffalo Beast recently called into the offices of Wisconsin Commandant Scott Walker, masquerading as the neo-capitalist pig David Koch. He managed to waltz right through the incompetent morons from the private sector that Governor Walker hired onto his staff and prank this genetically challenged infection on the Wisconsin body politic, recorded the phone call, and posted it on the internet. And you thought that was old news? It turns out this Murphy character from the Buffalo Beast posted an audio-manipulated version of that phone call for whatever reason, and I'm checking in with Alex Jones for an explanation on that. The Interside Radio staff has connections inside the Buffalo Beast, and I managed to get a copy of the unedited version, which you'll hear shortly. But first, some Tommy Douglas, a Canadian socialist with his iconic Mouseland speech, some Roy Zimmerman, and other stuff.
A lot of the youth at my church have been watching your program, and it's amusing. We are worried that the youth are being tricked and deceived by your program. Is it true that on your show you made a comparison between God and Bigfoot?
I would like to tell you a story. It's the story of a place called Mouseland. And this is where all the little mice lived and played, were born and died, and where they lived much the same as you and I do. They even had a parliament. And every 4 years they held an election, used to walk down to the polls and cast their ballots. Some of them even got a ride to the polls. And they got a ride for the next 4 years afterwards, too. Just like you and me. And every time on election day, all the little mice used to go to the ballot box and they used to elect a government. A government made up of big, fat, black cats. Now, if you think it's strange that mice should elect a government made up of cats, you just look at the history of Canada. And maybe you'll see they weren't any stupider than we are. Now, I'm not saying anything against the cats. They were nice fellows. They conducted their government with dignity. They passed good laws. That is, laws that were good for cats. But the laws that are good for cats aren't very good for mice. One of the laws said that mouse holes had to be big enough so that a cat could get his paw in. Another law said that mice could only travel at certain speeds so that a cat could get his breakfast without too much effort. All of the laws were good laws for cats. But oh, they were hard on the mice. And life was getting harder and harder. And when the mice couldn't take it anymore, they decided something had to be done about it. So they went en masse to the polls and they voted the black cats out. They put in the white cats. And still, nothing changed.
This is an illegal gathering, and we're shutting it down now. Everybody out.
Oh, what the hell is this? We have a right to a meeting.
Not without a permit. Bylaw was passed just this morning. Let's go, folks. We don't want to make any arrests, but we will if we have to. Come on. You too, Reverend.
How many socialists we got out there tonight? Come on, let's see a show of left hands. You drive here on a public street? Socialist. You go to a public school? Socialist. You ever visit a public library? Why? I'll tell you why, because you're a socialist. Like Ulysses S. Grant. Yellowstone National Park. You ever been there? Yeah, you're a socialist. Like Teddy Pinko Roosevelt. That guy was talking about universal health care. You're taxating, appropriating, regulating,
nanny state and social aid. I remember when my dog got run over by a truck. And the socialist animal control people came and picked up my dog. Then my neighbor's house caught on fire and the socialist fire department came and put it out. I could have snatched up that dog and cooked it on my neighbor's house. Another good meal ruined by socialism. You ever mail a letter? Of course you have, because you're a socialist. Like Dwight D. Eisenhower. That guy built highways between the states. Yeah, you're a socialist. Like Richard Red Diaper Nixon. He put food stamps on people's plates. Yeah, you're a taxating, appropriating, regulating, nanny stating socialist. Socialist. Like Ronald W. Reagan, earned income tax credit. Yeah, you're a socialist. Like George W. SSR Bush. That guy wrote the book on government interference. Of course, he never read it. You're a taxating, appropriating, regulating, nanny stating, Stalin hugging, Castro kissing, Marx filleting, spawn of Satan, socialist. Every last one of y'all.
They voted the black cat out. They put in the white cat. The white cat had put up a terrific campaign. They said all that Mouseland needs is more vision. They said the trouble with Mouseland, it's those round mouse holes we've got. If you put us in, we'll establish square mouse holes. And they did. And the square mouse holes were twice as big as the round mouse holes. And now the cat could get both his paws in. And life was tougher than ever. And when they couldn't take that anymore, they voted the white cats out and put the black ones in again. And then they went back to the white cats and then to the black cats. They even tried half black cats and half white cats. And they called that coalition. They even got one government made up of cats with spots on them. They were cats that tried to make a noise like a mouse, but they ate like a cat. You see, my friends, the trouble wasn't with the color of the cat. The trouble was that they were cats. And because they were cats, they naturally looked after cats instead of mice. Presently, there came along one little mouse who had an idea. My friends, watch out for the little fellow with an idea. And he said to the other mice, look, fellas, why do we keep on electing a government made up of cats? Why don't we elect a government made up of mice? Oh, he said, he's a Bolshevik. Lock him up. They put him in jail. But I want to remind you that you can lock up a mouse or a man, but you can't lock up an idea.
Saturday night. Governor Walker's office. Can I help you?
David Koch.
Oh, hello, Mr. Koch. Did you wish to speak with Governor Walker?
Sir.
Hold on, sir. Mr. Koch, Governor Walker's on the other line with Charlie Sheen. Do you want me to patch you in on a conference call?
Sir.
Hi, this is Scott Walker.
Scott. David Koch. How are you?
Hey, David.
Dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard, yeah, because it just...
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm very well. A little disheartened by the situation there, but what's the latest?
We're actually hanging pretty tough. You know, amazingly, there's a much smaller group of...
All things beautiful. You know, there's cleansing, there's healing here, there's laughter, there's children, there's beautiful women and perfect food, and it's just... We just win.
The state assembly is taking the bill up, getting it all the way to the last point.
Now, you're not talking to any of these Democrat bastards, are you?
They're on a battlefield, and they let their emotions and their ego, basically, they strapped on their diapers. And so they're in breach. They're in radical breach. And sorry, guys, you screwed up.
There's one guy that's actually voted with me in a bunch of things I called on Saturday for about 45 minutes.
Oh, what's his name again?
Charlie Sheen. It's not available, because if you try it once, you will die. Your face will melt off, and your children will weep over your exploded body.
I'll have to give that man a call.
Too much.
Well, actually, in his case, I wouldn't call him.
Yeah, no, it's just, I woke up and decided, you know, I've been kicked around, I've been criticized, I've been like the aw shucks guy with like this bitch in Rockstar Life, and I'm just finally going to completely embrace it, wrap both arms around it, and love it violently.
And I'll tell you why. He's pretty reasonable, but he's not one of us.
Did you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
He's not an ally. He's just he went into the private sector, made real money.
Because I'm me. I'm different. I just have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. I have a different, you know, I get tiger blood, man. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. It's exciting. I've come back from a place that, you know, people can put labels on it, and they can figure all this stuff out. They can try to, like, normalize it, boring, stupid, you know, and that's fine.
And became a little more open-minded.
It's I've just answered to a higher calling, and it happened in the blink of an eye, and I'm totally excited by it, you know.
He really doesn't care. He's not there for political reasons. He's just trying to get something done. So he's good to reach out to for me, but he's not a conservative. He's just a pragmatist.
How about I tell them I'm a high priest, Vatican assassin warlock. I'm hip bar. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
Now, who can we get to budge on this collective bargaining?
You know, we think there's at a minimum an ethics code violation, if not an outright felony.
Especially when you see how I party, man. It was epic. The run I was on made Sinatra, Flynn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just look like, you know, droopy-eyed, armless children.
Well, they're probably putting hobos in suits.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Sometimes.
Well, paying for the senators to be put up.
I expose people to magic. I expose them to something they're never otherwise going to see in their boring, normal lives. And I gave that to them.
I know they're paying for these guys to be in. No, you can... I mean, people can pay protesters to come in. I mean, that's not an ethics book. But, I mean, literally...
I may forget about them tomorrow, but they'll live with that memory for the rest of their lives. And that's a gift, man.
If they're being paid to keep them from doing their job, we think that's legally an obstruction of justice. But so we're trying about 4 or 5 different angles. During each day, we crank up a little bit more pressure. But
beautiful, beautiful. Got to crush that union.
What tomfoolery or skullduggery they rolled in with, like roll people.
And just kind of pass the message on to these guys. If they think I'm caving, they've been asleep for the last 8 years because we don't budge. We're not compromising. We're not going to. You got a few of the radical ones, who unfortunately one of them is the minority leader. I'm used to that. I can deal with that, but I'm not going to go to
bring them. Bring a baseball bat. That's what I do.
I have one in my office. You'll be happy with that. I got a slugger with my name on it.
Beautiful.
But in the end, this is. And this is, and I even pointed out last night because I'm trying to keep out the.
Goddamn right, we sent Andrew Breitbart down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he's our man, you know.
What's not to love?
What else? Now, what else could we do for you down there?
Two things. One,
money.
I come down the line.
People beyond myself, people a lot more important than me, are relying on that money to fuel the magic.
Right, right. We'll back you any way we can. But what we were thinking about the crowd was planting some troublemakers.
Yeah, we can handle this. People can protest. This is Madison, you know, full of the 60s liberals. Let them protest. Sooner or later, the media stops finding them interesting.
Well, not the liberal bastards on MSNBC.
Oh, yeah, but who watches that? I mean, I went on just morning, you know, they're off.
Well, Joe's a good guy. He's one of us.
Yeah, he's all right. He was fair to me. I mean, the rest of them were a little out there. Although I had fun, it was almost too easy. I walked in the amazing irony.
Beautiful, beautiful. But you got to love that Mika Brzezinski.
Oh, yeah. With Congressman Sensenbrenner, and right next to us was the two of them, and then the guest was Axelrod. I came over and I introduced myself.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Well, good, good. Good catching up with you.
Yeah, well, thanks. This is an exciting time.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. Once you crush these bastards, I'll fly out to Cali and really show you a good time.
All right, that would be outstanding. Thanks for all the support and helping us move the cause forward, and we appreciate it. We're doing it the just and right thing for the right reasons, and it's all about getting our freedom back.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have a little bit of vested interest as well.
Well, that's just it. The bottom line is we're gonna get the world moving here because it's the right thing to do.
All right.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
No, man, I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed, I have one gear. Go!
We thought of
this bastard, yeah.
About that.
And then a blink of an eye. Because it just, it
fires. The problem with
totally this. In a way that is.
Or my only. You know,
I don't know. Especially when you see on, maybe not from this thing, man. It was epic. Particular. The road right I was on made a terrestrial Sinatra the, realm.
The,
Flynn, Jack. I'm different. Here, Richard's all of a different constitution. Just the constitution. I have a different brain.
Because I talked to.
Different heart.
My only fear is
different. You know, I get to
completely had a
stock of blood, you know. Yeah. No, it doesn't.
The
doesn't
public is not.
Apparent. They're holding.
Are you worried about
the realities? You know,
here the public.
There's no
great teachers union. Did
things about both,
why?
But
the governor's got polling and folks.
Does one hornet
group? I think in
now
the
is,
end,
is,
found out.
That
the public
blinked and I blinked and I
turned on in the minute.
In my brain, that's how
I said, "Hey, cool down."
Everybody has
the power. We can handle it.
Because everybody's
here. Protest. Guys, we got
exciting.
This is Madison. They're largely from
Kansas.
And I
come back from a place.
Liberals missing it.
You know, Kansas is the
Liberal Post comments.
Labels on it.
Like,
it's
not.
Yeah. All this stuff.
I'm not going to try to force it from Madison.
Going to like normalize it.
We go back.
Normalize it. Just try it.
My only fear.
Stupid, you know. And
the majority that there was a.
Just try it. That's fine. But for me, it's
that
I've just answered to us.
Not here, the public
are calling.
I mean, maybe.
And then the blink of an eye.
That's my government.
Totally misunderstood. By the way, I don't make
anything
particular. Especially when you see all the partners in the problem. I'm complaining, man. I'm dabbing. I was on, maybe.
Whereas I
know it,
but
it's not
going to
happen.
We can handle it.
You see this as much more volatile and violent. Could you explain what your view of the U.S. is with what's happening there with regard to the impoverishment of most of the people there?
Well, for example, compared to France, there's an infrastructure of protest and manifestation. People are protesting and manifesting their demonstrations all the time. You know, every month somebody's on the street is trying to negotiate for better conditions or better wages. So the infrastructure is in place, and so there's a routine. You know, the cops come out, they stand along the road, the people protest, they strike, the metro stops working, and as a result, you know, the workers, the average folks here in France have been able to maintain a very high quality of life, very high standard of life, and the government lives in fear of the people. And the people like that, since going back to the days of the French Revolution and the Reign of Terror, which was a very potent demonstration of what the people feel when the potentates get a little bit too high and mighty. They simply cut their heads off. And it's very much alive on the streets here. If you take a taxi and you start to talk about, you know, the Reign of Terror, everyone is conversant in this and say, and will tell you, yes, if they get out of hand, we will cut their heads off. So it's very much in the minds of the average person that their power, ultimately they have the power. Now in the States, the people live in fear of the government. So it's the complete opposite that you have in the States. There's no infrastructure of protest. There's no infrastructure of manifestation. The entire union system has been gutted. Wages are destroyed. People who actually fight for decent living are mocked and by the mainstream media, which of course is owned by the same corporations. And so therefore, when it's time to push back, as it always is, there's always a dynamism between the power and the powerless. The powerful and the powerless. There's always going to be conflicts. And in Europe, this dynamic is understood, and so the potential for really dangerous, violent confrontations is minimized because both sides understand their role. In the U.S., the powerful don't understand what they're doing, and the poor don't understand how to push back. So when the cyclical nature of this confrontation rears its head, the result will be a lot messier, a lot uglier, and so there'd be a lot more violent, just simply because they don't know how to do it. You know, the poor people don't know how to protest, and the rich people don't know how to be rich and to shut up when they should shut up. You know, the rich in America should shut up, because going on television and talking about the glories of free market capitalism when all they are part of a corrupt oligarchic kleptocracy is only putting a big fat target on their back, and they should just shut up, because you're only angering the people that you're abusing. And, you know, it's not going to end well if you have to learn how to be rich. I mean, this is the thing about Americans, is it's a very young country. It's a very young aristocracy. The aristocracy in America is very new to the world, and they really don't know how to handle their wealth. So I predict that much of it will be taken away. Why would America outsource its money creation program to the Europeans and the Russians and the Japanese and everyone else around the world vis-a-vis the Federal Reserve Bank? It's not an American bank. Federal does not refer to America. Federal Reserve is as American as, it's like Federal Express. It's just a brand. It's not a federal organization. It's a third party, internationally owned, lending facility meant to undermine the dollar in ways that help only the constituents of the Fed. So the fact that the Fed engineered a bailout of its foreign interests was a mandate, of course, by the foreign interests, who still look at America as a colony. America is still a colony. That's what this crisis has revealed. The Revolutionary War of 1776 was a washout. It did not produce independence, as some imagine. Obviously, if the Fed is bailing out foreign banks with Americans' money, what do you call that? That's called a colony. America is still a colony. You got 50 colonies now under the American / global banking flag instead of 13, but it's a colony. Therefore, we need to restage the independence movement and restage the Revolutionary War for independence, because it didn't work the first time. That was a big washout. When's the real revolution coming? Because the first one was a damp squib.
Even the left liberal media in the U.S. refuses to tackle banking because they fear the banks. And this is a concrete example of exactly that.
Max Kaiser, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
That was from Bonnie Faulkner's Guns and Butter radio program out of Pacifica Radio in Berkeley. You've heard music from Roy Zimmerman and Pink. Here's more from Dropkick Murphy. You've been listening to the Interside Radio program. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.
Yeah, this one's for the workers who turned out.